Let's pray really quick for our message tonight. Our God in heaven, we thank you that you bring us here to this place, even tonight. And we pray that you would be King of Kings first in our heart. You would be Lord of Lords in our hearts and in our minds. That we wouldn't be here to serve ourselves, but to serve you. We'd be here and exist, even in the way we function in youth group, to put you on display and show off the grace that you have given to us in sending your own son to die for us. Pray this in his name. Amen. This is going to be a bit of an unusual message. Normally what we would do is we would open up our Bibles to a certain passage of Scripture and we'd work through it. We just got through James. It was amazing. It was wonderful. Some of the other students can walk you through the hand motions if you want later. But we're not going to do that. Tonight we're just going to kind of just do another like introduction to the youth group kind of message. All of you know what's coming. Most of you older students love this group. I know you do because of how you tear up at Winter Retreat and how I tear up watching you at Winter Retreat. And some of you who are new, I know you're excited about youth group because you came here 30 minutes early just to be here. So I know you're excited. We're all excited. But let's be very honest with each other. There is a way that we can ruin youth group for everybody. And that is self-seeking, being here for our own agenda and for our own reason and for our own program and for our own glory. And that's not why we want to be here. We want to be here to serve others and to seek the Lord Jesus Christ and to grow in him. And that's kind of what the message is about tonight. It's about an issue that you all care a lot about. Your parents and you care a lot about this issue. Your parents for different reasons than you. I want to talk a little bit about our relationship policy and just clarify that. So welcome to the youth group. Usually I wait until the very last day before the seventh graders come in, and then I land this rule on them, but no, it's coming day one. But really, I've been contemplating this message for the last, you could say, 3 years, so hopefully I can get all this in. There are a few misunderstandings about this rule, but first off, let's just make sure we're all on the same page about all of the summer camp rules. Rule number one, what is it? Obey all rules. Rule number two is obey rule number one. Rule number three, what is it, Brooklyn? Nope. Is that don't write on the walls with crayons, seeing as how, no. Rule number three is a good rule. Listen to your leaders. I don't know if that's true. Rule number four is the true schedule, do this with me, is in David's mind. Rebecca Street can tell you that from personal experience. Rule number five is no romance outside of marriage. Rule number six is lights out are for your good, maybe. Rule number seven is don't write on the walls with crayons, seeing as how it's difficult to erase. Okay, anyway, so there's a lot of misunderstandings about the rules, mainly the person who's giving them, but rule number five, no romance outside of marriage. There's a few misunderstandings. By the way, I spoke on this rule 2 years ago, but I noticed that the internet deletes all of my messages after 2 years. So you can't listen to that message anymore, so I have to give it to you again. But let me just say, there's a few misunderstandings about what this rule means. Some students, I believe, have a misunderstanding that they believe a simple rule in youth group for dating will solve all of the dating problems. That's a misunderstanding. That won't solve anything. There's another misunderstanding out there saying the best youth groups are youth groups where these things don't happen. Relationships, these kinds of things. That's not true either. Another misunderstanding some might have is, hey, I know a youth group that allows these sorts of things, therefore we should. That's not a good reason to have no rules in place. Another misunderstanding is, this rule is just another one of David's dumb jokes. I don't need to pay attention. But actually, as you will find out, I'm actually kind of serious about rule number five. Another misunderstanding is when a student thinks, hey, this probably doesn't apply to what I'm doing. Just the fact that you admit that almost tells me that it is applying to what you're doing. Another misunderstanding is that, hey, this rule is not very fairly enforced. Now, that could be, maybe not. And I would say another misunderstanding was David, by this rule, doesn't understand the way girl-guy friendships work. I think I do. I think I know exactly how they work. That's why I have this rule in place. Another misunderstanding could possibly be, let's go with, this rule refers to this. I'm speaking in a hypothetical student's mind. This rule refers to my definition of an improper relationship. I would also say that's a misunderstanding. This isn't your personal opinion on what is and isn't allowed in a relationship. This is actually my opinion. So here's been my basic rule in the past that I've stated in booklet form and before parents and before students alike. I've basically said this. This is rule number 5, which in summary form is no romance outside marriage. But this is what I've said. We are not here to pursue exclusive romantic relationships or help one another do so. We are here to help one another pursue Christ, or my very witty and very catchy paraphrase of that. We're not here to stir up in the Song of Solomon 8:4 sort of way. We're here to stir up in the Hebrews 10:24-25 kind of way. Well, there you go. And my basic articulation of this rule in the past has been, I do not want to see dating relationships in this youth group. And I have asked certain people not to show off their dating relationships, or people have left youth ministry because of this for various reasons. Now, over the last year, and this is me being humble, so seventh graders just right out of the gates, here you go, right? I have recognized that there are some concerns that I have with the way this rule is and how it is currently expressed. So here's some of my concerns that I've seen with the rule. I almost feel sometimes like by putting a spotlight on relationships, I'm putting gasoline on those relationships, and that's the last thing that I want to do. So that's one of my concerns. I don't want to fuel fire. By having a no-dating relationship policy, I pretty much have to go after all of these half-dating relationships. And that causes everybody to start talking about these relationships, and that causes those relationships to increase. I also have a concern that I've seen in the last year from this rule, that there seems to be a lot of fear floating around from parents and students wondering when I'm going to tap them on the shoulder because they were talking to so-and-so too long in the hallway. I also am concerned by that. I'm also I've been a little concerned by kind of the effect that I've seen this rule have on our group. Now, maybe you're not doing this intentionally, but sometimes students come to me, say, hey, I saw so-and-so over there breaking rule number 5. And I have a suspicion in the back of my head that maybe what's motivating that is not love and concern like I would like to see, but it's actually jealousy or irritation or something like that. I would want to ask them, and I have asked them, okay, how do you pursue this person in love? But it's tricky. I've not really liked the kind of effect this rule has had on the group, if I'm being honest. But my two main concerns, for what I'm about to tell you tonight, my concern number one is by having a rule where I say no dating in our youth group, essentially, or that's how you guys understand it. By having this rule, I will always lose the students that are willing to be honest with me and upfront and honorable. Those are the students that are going to leave, and the students that are going to stick around are the ones that are going to be secretive and sin in relationships. So I don't know if a rule is going to solve this problem. And I knew that 2 years ago when I kind of established this rule, and I knew that last year. And in fact, I would say I even tried to articulate the rule in certain ways where I was expressing, hey, there are ways to be in a relationship in this youth group. But the way I expressed the rule 2 years ago, last year, made it sound like, hey, either you're not dating, or either you're not dating or you're in this group, or you are dating and you're wrong and you're outside of this group. That's how I expressed it, right? If you're in a dating relationship in high school, regardless of how your parents feel, regardless of any of these things, you're in the wrong. And that's not what I want to do at all. So for those reasons, I've decided to move back to what is essentially my original rule. I've decided to move back to the original way that I handled relationships, but with a few caveats. But before I tell you what that original way is, before I tell you what you can expect from me in youth group, particularly if you're an older student, and especially if you're a younger student. Let me just give you a few reasons why I care about dating and relationships in youth group. So here it is, right? This is why I really care about this issue, and this is why I've tried to take it very seriously, and this is why in the future I want to take it as seriously, but also with extra wisdom on top of all of that. A few reasons why I really care about your relationships in youth group is I'm commanded to care about you. I'm commanded to care about you. I believe I am called by God under His grace to be your shepherd. And that means I need to care for your soul. And I need to care about things that will impact your soul. Therefore, I care about you. 1 Peter 5:2 talks about an elder as an overseer. That draws to mind, right, someone who sees over, right, who cares and knows the condition of their flock, right? I know how this is going to affect you, so I'm going to help you in this certain area because I can see your weaknesses, right? I don't want you to fail in this area, so I want to help you do this well, right? That's what a shepherd should do. And sometimes to be an overseer, you have to be demanding, don't you? That's what an overseer, a shepherd does, right? I will make demands of you because I care for you. I also think of Hebrews 13:17. We're called to watch over someone, right? We're called to ask questions as we look at your life, right? Are they living in a way that's spiritually dangerous? Are they living in a way that's causing someone else to be in spiritual danger? I should warn them. I should encourage them. But notice once again, an elder is someone who cares. They oversee. They'll give an account for you and for your soul. I care for you, and that is why I care about these relationships. Relationships are powerful things. All relationships are powerful things. We have you in small groups because we believe that relationships are powerful things. We want you to connect with strong leaders who can help shape you and sharpen you and shepherd you because relationships are powerful things. God has given us community to strengthen us, and that's why we do youth group. But powerful things can be dangerous things, and that is why I care, because I am commanded to care. But another reason, a second reason why I care about your relationships are not why we are here. Dating relationships are not why we are here. You can fight me on it. I don't care. But that's not why we're here. That's not why people are giving you lots of money in fundraisers to go to summer camp so that you can further your romantic interests. That's not why you're here. That's not why your parents are sending you here, and that's not why I'm here, right? That's not why we're here, to focus on these things in youth group. This is not why any of those things are happening. How about another? I'll just jump through these. Number three, a third reason why I care about your relationships. Such relationships, I would argue, are easy to start and really hard to stop. That's why, in the past, I have tried to be upfront and very early in the process if I see something that I see as potentially damaging or hurtful or troubling to you or to someone else. Because I see such relationships as easy to start and hard to stop. Now, this is something that Steve really helped me see through his series on Song of Solomon, and I've shared this before with the group, but I love this little bit of his sermon so much that I'm going to repeat it verbatim for you all right now, so buckle up. Steve has listed these six ways to light the fuse of love, right? Song of Solomon is actually a book of incredible hope for those people that are struggling in their marriage for love and for romance. Actually, romance is very easy. Just follow these six simple steps and bam, you will have romance. And this also applies to young people very well, as I will illustrate here in a second. But Song of Solomon 8:4 says, why should we arouse, or why should we awaken love before it desires? Right? We shouldn't. It's easy to start. Don't awaken it until it desires. And Steve gives us these three P's, and I think the The idea was six P's to POW. POW, you have romance, something like that. But here, number one, the first things you do to light the fuse of love is you ponder the other person. And in Song of Solomon's 1:2, you see this girl, she's thinking about him all the time. That doesn't happen, I know. It's just in the Bible here. I'm joking, I'm being facetious. Christian, you're not laughing, but that's okay. She is pondering him. She is thinking about him all the time. She's hoping he'll do things. And then just ask yourself a question. Who do you think about a lot, right? Who do you pray about a lot, right? Do you pray about someone a lot and think about them a lot? Your relationship with them will grow when you think about them a lot. What determines a really great winter retreat or a really great summer camp? Is it because they were there in your mind? Does thinking about them bring you to a spot of jealousy, frustration, because you've attached them to yourself in a way that's not right yet? That's thinking, pondering the other person. The second way to kind of light the fuse of love is publicly making your desires known. And you see in Song of Solomon's 1:4, she's telling her friends about him. You know, you're not really breaking any rules. You're not really going behind your parents' back. You're just kind of telling your friend about them. And hey, if your friend just happens to spread that news to another friend who spreads it to another friend who spreads it to them, let that happen. But I'm just telling other people, letting my affections, my desires be known. That actually fuels your own love. A third way to light the fuse of love is proximity to the other person. Song of Solomon 1, verse 7 and 8. You see here, she's asking, where do you hang out with your sheep? Because I want to, you know, just happen upon the same pasture that you're hanging out in. Oh, you're here too. Well, I got to stay here for the rest of the afternoon, I guess. You know? She's wanting to be close to him. And then you see this all the time, right? The students that are with each other most draw closer to each other, and they always need to be together. Another way to light the fuse of love is praise the other. Number four, praise the other. You see this in Song of Solomon 4, verse 1. He is praising her from head to toe. I love everything about you. You are like a cow on the side of a hill. You are like an acorn. Never mind. He is publicly praising her. That fuels in him affection, and that fuels in her affection, right? That's an easy way to light the fuse of love. The fifth way, is have progressive, serious talks. In Song of Solomon 2:14 through 15, she's basically saying, listen, let's get serious here. Let's deal with these foxes. And I suppose in this interpretation, you could say, foxes are things that are going to spoil our love. Let's deal with the issues. Let's define the corners of our relationship. Let's kind of determine who we are as a couple, and let's go forward, right? This is progressive, serious talk. This happens all the time. You have progressive, serious talk. The obvious way is the DTR table. Had one at Moody growing up in college. You always knew those students. They were having those DTRs because they were at that one table with the two chairs, right? And those kids are talking, defining the relationship. That's what we call it, right? But it's also just kind of like talking about each other and talking about your relationship as itself. Like, where are we at as a couple, right? That is progressive, serious talk. Praying with one another is progressive, serious talk. Talking about each other and how you feel is progressive, serious talk. That will light the fuse of desire. And then, of course, this leads to its natural outcome, professed sexual desire. This is where it always goes. And you see that, of course, in Song of Solomon 2:16. Now, once again, the point here is these kinds of relationships are easy to start and hard to stop. They're easy to start and hard to stop. The only way they stop is either through marriage or heartbreak. That's the only two outcomes. So be careful. So I'm going to care about relationships that you're in, because this will change how you act in youth group. This will change why you come to youth group. This will change what you hear in youth group, and that is why I care. But another reason why I care about your relationships, I would say such relationships are very significant and weighty. They're significant and weighty. And I'll just argue this point just kind of philosophically with you. God designed this to happen, right? Song of Solomon is a great book of hope for marriages that are plummeting in the doldrums of no romance, right? It's supposed to be stirred up. This is a great thing. Single man, you're supposed to be motivated to go get a job, you know, be prepared, pursue that woman, right? You're supposed to want these things. This is what keeps humanity going. God designed relationships to be powerful things that change us, that shape us. It's a good thing. It's an ultimately very good thing. Matter of fact, it's perhaps one of the greatest gifts that God will give outside of Christ himself. It is a wonderful thing. That's why we talk about companionship as a great gift. It's a great gift that God has given to lonely humanity, companionship. But this herein lies the warning, right? The greatest gifts, the greatest joys, the greatest blessings are always twisted for our own destruction, right? They're twisted. The good things are twisted so that we will be self-seeking instead of God-seeking, so that we will try to be satisfied in ourself instead of satisfied in Christ. They will ultimately harm us. You could say it like this, right? The higher the gift, the more heavy the fall, right? Because it is a wonderful gift from God. That's why when I speak of dating relationships, especially with high schoolers, and especially with kids that are younger outside of high schooler, I want to use the words heavy, right? Weighty. Do you understand what you're getting involved in? This is a heavy thing. This is a weighty thing. This will shape your life. Therefore, I care about it because I care about you. But another reason why I care about your relationships, and kind of the final reason I care about your relationships, is I would say such relationships, particularly in high school, your youth group, can easily ruin many good things. Let me just list some of these good things that they can ruin. A relationship pursued seriously before it can do anything will be a very, very tempting place. That's what it's designed to do. It's designed to bring you to this place. So if you can't do anything about it, if you're you know, a ninth grade boy and you still got a few years left in high school, it's going to just be temptation. That's all it's going to surround you with. And not just physical temptation, but mental temptation. That's what you're dealing with. And same thing with young women. It'll tempt you in your mind to trust in this relationship more than anything else if you cannot do anything about it, if you cannot commit to it. But also, another thing it could ruin, not just kind of your own integrity, I would also say it could ruin relationships right around you, right? It will naturally, no matter how hard you try, a dating relationship will draw you together and pull you away from other relationships. So it could easily ruin very good friendships that you could have had in youth group, but all because you're focused on one relationship. But I'd also say this, it could also ruin that very relationship itself, right? A relationship pursued before its time will probably be a relationship lost. Let's be honest, right? I've spent enough time around college relationships to know you guys barely have a shot. College students can't even seem to get together very easily. It's hard for them, right? If you pursue a relationship before its time, I almost guarantee that that relationship will be ruined in some way, or relationships around you will be ruined through it. Now, I wouldn't say every time, but I'm just saying this is why I care about your relationships. To sum up, though, that's it. That's why I care, but that's also why I'm kind of going back to my original way I pursue relationships here. Because once again, I don't want to fuel these things. Once again, I don't want to alienate those kids who want to honor me and honor their parents. Once again, I don't want to cause people to hide in their sin and try to be secretive about their relationship. I want you to be very open and honest with me and with your leaders and with your parents. And that's why I want to adjust the way I do things here in youth group. So, essentially, if I was to sum up my original policy, it's this. I am going to ask parents to parent. That's it. I'm going to ask parents to parent. I'm no longer going to make a blanket group rule saying no dating, although I never really did, but I'm not going to have that rule anymore. But I will, hopefully, be shepherding more. I will be, hopefully, counseling for wisdom more. That's what I want. I want to get away from rules and get back to wisdom and for pleading with wisdom with you. I don't want to just make you afraid to talk to me because you're afraid you're going to get kicked out. Instead, I want you to be open with me so that I can warn you of the heaviness of this relationship. It kind of spoils the whole thing now that I just told you, but you got it. But let me just say, just because I am, quote unquote, allowing relationships, doesn't mean I'm just going to be okay with every single relationship out there. Let me just quickly define what I see as a foolish relationship. And I will respond, as you'll see, accordingly. This is how I would define a foolish teenage relationship. I'll ask myself this question, or these questions. There's a lot of them. You probably can't write them down. But just to give you a taste of it, is one or both of the students an unbeliever or showing little fruit? That makes me opposed to the relationship. Is one or both of the students spiritually immature? That makes me opposed to the relationship. Is this relationship isolating these students from the youth group? That makes me opposed to the relationship. Are either of the parents concerned or opposed to the relationship? That makes me opposed to the relationship. Is this relationship isolating either of the students from their own youth leadership? That makes me opposed to the youth relationship. Am I or other youth leaders concerned about the effects this relationship is having on the students or the rest of the youth group? That will make me opposed to the relationship. Are they unwilling or unable to be purposeful about this relationship? And basically what I'm asking there is this practical, right? Can they go anywhere in this relationship, honestly? Is this a year out until they can actually pursue these things, or is this 3 years out? That is how I would ask this. Matter of fact, I want to get to the place with the young men where I want to be, where I want to push you, hey, listen, if this is what you want, let me help you figure out how you can purposely pursue this woman. But it probably will look a whole lot more like you pursuing another godly man to grow like him and less of you pursuing her to get her. That is honestly how I will be structuring that conversation. But another question I will ask, are either of these students unwilling to receive shepherding in this relationship? That, once again, will make me opposed to any relationship I see. So, here is what you can expect from me. This is what you can expect from me in the future as far as how I deal with youth relationships. First off, I will never be friendly towards relationships that are outside of their parents' authority. Secondly, I will expect few relationships to actually fit into these caveats that I have set up, right? I mean, there's only so many relationships that can answer all those questions well, so I will expect few relationships in youth ministry. And I don't think a good reason to pursue a relationship is just because it's convenient, because you're always together. That's not a good reason. So I'll expect few relationships. I will insist on love of wisdom over the adherence of some rule or some line. I will insist, are you loving wisdom? Are you receiving shepherding? And this is, as a shepherd, what I will demand, first of the students involved, of the parents involved, and then of the rest of you involved as well. So here's what I will demand of any students that want to be in a dating relationship. I will demand that they have a willingness to be under and to listen to parental authority and church leadership. That's what I will demand. I will demand that they seek self-control and concern for how they communicate their relationship to others. I think you can do incredible harm by flaunting a relationship, right? I will demand a willingness to pursue other important relationships in the family and in the church. I would even say it's important for you to have many relationships and friendships in the youth group, right? If you can only be together, if you can only be each other's friends, I would have problems. I would also demand a willingness to serve others, especially in this group. It's easy to serve the person you like, but can you serve someone that's difficult to like? Now, there's some marriage training that would be very helpful, actually. Come to youth group not to be served, but to serve. That's what I would demand of you. I would also look at this. Would you see youth group as just another bonus date? Because that's not why I'd want you to be here. Another thing that I would demand of these students, a willingness to be wise about how dating freedoms might impact and corrupt others. And here's the spirit of what I tried to make rule number five so many years now. I'm more interested in how you love others than the personal freedoms you have, right? And I think you should be more interested in that as well, because I believe that is what Paul calls you to as well. It's interesting to me that Romans 14, Romans 15, where Paul is talking about gray areas, and this is, I think, has a bit of application here, right? What's right for you might not be right for somebody else, right? This is not a sin issue for me, but it's a sin issue for you. You notice that Paul could have, under the authority of the Holy Spirit, just said, hey guys, you can eat meat. I'll just solve it for you. You can have meat. Problem solved. He didn't do that. Why? Because I would say, as a believer, love is more important than your own personal freedoms. And that's what the Spirit of God wants you guys to learn, right? Loving other people, even when it's difficult, even when it's challenging, even when I'm not necessarily able to do the things that they're doing, or I have to set aside some freedom that I have that's right for me but not right for them, and I'm setting it aside to serve them, that is more important than saying, look at this freedom that I have. Look at this ability that I have. That is what I would ask. I would also demand of these students, lastly, a recognition that this relationship needs to move slowly in its progress. Every drop of progress is basically just a drop of fuel on the fire in my mind on these relationships. But that leads me to what I will demand of your parents. I will demand that I see a cautiousness to the dangers and problems. I think I stand in a room full of parents that are well aware of the dangers and problems with this. I will also demand that they are on top of even your friendships. I don't expect to necessarily agree with you on your definition of your friend or that friend or this friend or it being a friendship. I might disagree with your parents on whether you're in a friendship or not, but I will demand that your parents stay on top of your friendships, because once again, these things can escalate quickly. I will also ask that there is a presence in them of reasonable and wise parental controls on the amount of communication allowed throughout the week as well. And I'd also ask of your parents that there's a willingness to own your own kids. Parents, I want you to own your kids. I don't want you to be talking about somebody else's kids as the problem with your kid. They're not the problem with your kid. Your kid is the problem with your kid, right? Own your kid in the problem, saying, hey, my kid is really distracted right now in this relationship. I think I'm going to take him out of youth ministry for a while until he regains his focus. Because youth group, believe it or not, is a privilege, not a right, right? If you're not here for the right reasons, let's pull you aside and get you home. I'd even say a young student who's obsessed with a relationship and must have a relationship is screaming for a relationship with their parents. And I would expect of you that you own your kids and own their problem. Your kid's problem is not some other kid. The youth group in general, your kid's problem is you and them need to have a relationship together. And then finally, this is what I'm going to demand of the rest of you in this youth group, in this new era, you could say, new era of a very old rule. I would ask you to be ruled by love. Romans 13:8 says, owe nothing to anyone except for love. Romans 13:5 says, one person judges one day above another, another judges every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. Then Romans 13:12-13 says, so then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us judge one another, not judge one another anymore, but rather judge this, not to put a stumbling block or offense before a brother. I would ask you to be ruled by love towards each other, not ruled by judgmentalism, not ruled by anything like this. I would ask you also to not gossip. I would ask you also to not be matchmakers. I think it's ironic that they call it matchmaking, because it sure seems to light the fuse of romance when other people find out about your matchmaking. I would ask you to submit to your own parents, right? That student over there may be submitting to their parents and not submitting to your parents in this area, and that is okay. You are ruled by love in this gray area. If you come to me with concerns, know that I will shepherd you as well. I will ask of your motives. I will ask you how you can speak the truth of love. And yes, I will expect you to speak the truth in love if you see one of your friends doing something that is dangerous to their soul or shaping them in a negative way. So, by the way, this is what you'll expect. Just so you can see the outline and the process that I'll follow. This is what you can expect from me in youth group when I see a relationship happening. First, I will surround myself with wise counsel. If possible, I will talk with other small group leaders just to make sure we're seeing the same things. Then I will reach out to your parents, and I will listen to their opinion of the relationship. And then I will make judgments and decisions about the wisdom of that relationship. See my earlier section. And then I will express any concerns that I have, and I will make requests. And then I will ask parents, if they are concerned about the relationship, to deal with the relationship and to own their students in the relationship. And if the students continue, insist on a relationship outside of their parents' authority, I will ask them to step out of youth group. But above all things, I will insist on relationship that's focused on wisdom and put under shepherding and grace. But one last exception, and this is for all of you as well. I still will have rule number 5 written in the rule book every year. Because even though youth group from week to week, I want to be more flexible and I want to shepherd you with more grace and more wisdom, I still don't want to see relationships at summer camp. And the simple reason for that is summer camp is a wonderful place. Winter retreat is a wonderful place. It's a wonderful place to start a horrible relationship. And I don't want to see that. And even if you are in a relationship under your parents' authority and under my authority in receiving shepherding, I would want to see you not be in a relationship at camp or retreat. Why? Because I want to see you serve other people intentionally, right? I want to see you set yourself aside and your interests to serve others. And parents, if you don't think your kids have enough self-control to do that, they probably shouldn't be in a relationship and they probably shouldn't be coming. And that's the conversation we'll have, right? But even if you're in a relationship, do you understand me? Even if you're in a relationship, you are not coming to this retreat to be in a relationship. You're coming to this retreat to be at this retreat and at this camp. And that is my policy. And also, if I see a relationship take off during a retreat, you can expect me to move very quickly. I might not call your parents because there's no reception. I might simply go up to you, as awkward as it sounds, take both of you aside and say, hey, you guys need to just split. You need to spend some time focusing on other people and less time on yourself because everybody sees it. Now that's kind of my change of direction, but let me just say this finally. I say this because I have a very high view of all of you, and I have very great affection for all of you. And even if you're a seventh grader, I already know that I have high affection for all of you, and I have high affection for this group. I've never met a youth group like this that, by and large, receives such shepherding with such humility and such grace. And that is why I take great pride in you, and that is why I hold you all in my heart, and that is why I want to shepherd you harder and better and with more wisdom in the future. Let's pray. Dear God in heaven, we thank you for this time. We thank you for how you've blessed us with this opportunity to grow in relationships together and seek the kind of relationships that honor you. And we pray that we would do this by your power and by your help. Surround us with people that would help us and strengthen us and sharpen us. Give us parents that would be wise counselors and help us to navigate these times. Give us self-control to not pursue everything now, but to pursue what has been given to us to pursue now. Give us love for you and give us great joy in serving you in this season of our life that is called youth group. Amen.